Well, in case you're wondering, the Broncos have officially been eliminated from the playoffs.
Broncos country?
Yeah. Wow. If we would have played what I just said next to that at the beginning of the season, you guys would have thought I was crazy. But here we are. This whole thing didn't really work out. But there was something on Sunday.
You ever done anything dangerous?
Yeah, I mean, I did. He did do something dangerous. He dove into a bunch of gigantic Kansas City Chiefs defenders. And
that's
then
dangerous.
He paid for it.
Got a little spicy.
And you got some idiot Bronco fans that are like, yeah, it was selfish on his part. He should have gotten down. He should have slid. What? Wait, you don't want him to give it his all, and then when he does, you are mad at that. Now, yeah, the smart play would have been to dive. But I think Broncos country needed to see a little something like that. I don't want him to get hurt long term, obviously. I don't want him to get hurt at all. But I think that Broncos country kind of, at that moment, you could almost hear it over Denver, where they were like, there it is. There's the fight that I wanted from this guy. And if you can't motivate by saying positive things all the time and, you know, let's ride, then do it on the field. Throw a defender off of you. Dive forward for a touchdown. That seemed to rally the troops a little more. I mean, they scored what's once after that, but it did seem to get people excited talking about him.
No, I think even if he doesn't dive, let's say he just gets the first down and slides right there, I think you could have still felt that spark, because that was a big moment in the game to roll out to the right, shake a defender off, look to see if anyone's downfield. And then he had, like, you know, 5-6 yards of open grass. Get the first down, might slide, but he took a shot.
And I think the respect factor went up a little bit. No, the big thing in this game was, I think, Jerry Jeudy, but moving him around, changing his position with the team. I mean, that was that was a Hackett decision. He changed Jerry Jeudy's position as far as where he lined up on the football field. And obviously that worked out. That was Jerry Jeudy's best performance as a Bronco. And also a time where we're talking about the anniversary of losing the great Demaryius Thomas. No receiver had done that since Demaryius Thomas. Weird how sports work sometimes, man.
Yeah, it's, you know, whoever writes these sports scripts every day or every weekend, they always manage to get one good story in there.
Who would have thought that would be?
And it was fun to see Jerry, you know. I mean, I've watched him for years, but I haven't seen him, you know, have that type of game in the NFL since he got drafted. And that's just, you know, he didn't have the drops. He wasn't falling on losing his feet on a catch, or he wasn't going straight down as soon as he caught it. He was out there working his tail off.
And he was he was motivational. You just flip it out beforehand, which you always wonder how that's going to work.
We saw KJ do it earlier this year.
Yeah, and Jerry was like, wow, we got to do something, man. He was screaming his bloody head off. And then next thing you know, interceptions start happening. Denver's offense starts going down and scoring. And Jerry Jeudy does his thing. I mean, look at this, man. In 2020, his first year, he had 3 touchdowns total. In 2021, he didn't have any touchdowns. In 2022, he's at 6. So, and half of them were yesterday. If that's a precursor to maybe what we're going to start seeing from Jeudy, then yeah, you finally got a guy. And then if you get Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick going, you start to have weapons. So that's why my Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Have you changed your stance on this? Should Nathaniel Hackett be given one more year? And then Zach Stevens is handling it the logical way. See how the next 4 games go. Has changed a little bit, though. 40% of the hooligans are saying no. 33% of the hooligans saying yes. I'd like to see him come back for another year. Should he get another year? Maybe not I'd like to, but should he? And then 26% like, he's not gone yet? What are we still doing here? Doesn't make any sense.
If he is gone, is there a name out there that you're looking at?
I mean, you keep hearing Dan Quinn's name, you know. But I tell you, Sean Payton, that's not going to happen.
He's going to L.A.
He's going to go somewhere that can give him a draft pick. I mean, you think he's going to the Chargers?
I do.
That they'll move on from Staley, even though they might be in the playoffs? If they make the playoffs?
If they make the playoffs, they might keep Staley. I think if they don't, and I think there's still a chance that they miss out, then I think you get rid of Staley, and I think Peyton would want to go there over Dallas.
Chargers have a lot of talent. Seems like they have a lot of talent. So if you can't get that group into the playoffs, then yeah, you start one. But they probably have a good draft pick. I don't know where they would end up in the draft pick, but they're not. They won't be as good as San Francisco.
Well, and they're not looking for a quarterback either.
But don't you think it's going to cost? If I'm the Saints, you know, I got my coach apparently, but I got to give up the rights to this guy that doesn't want to be here. You better give me a pretty good draft pick out of this. And if you don't have a top 10 draft pick, you got to give me a top, 20, 25, but you got to add something else into it. That's why I don't think the Broncos will really be in the mix here, because they're going to have San Francisco's draft pick in the first round. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Let's read some older text. Mr. B would not be satisfied with an almost victory. Broncos country cannot lower our expectations. We have the Rockies for that.
I don't like this idea that you can't have moral victories.
When you're out of the playoffs, isn't that what it's all about now?
Officially, yes.
I mean, that was Drew Lock. That was the year Drew Lock. They botched that up. I don't know if Drew Lock would still be the quarterback if they wouldn't have made the change at offensive coordinator, but why would you? We got a guy that worked well with our quarterback for 5 games. Let's move on from him. Let's give him another offensive coordinator in Drew Lock. That's what we did with that. So if you start to see something here, whether it's a win or a loss, I'm sorry, but you're not in the business right now of winning games. You're in the business of seeing if you can potentially win games next year. That's who you are. Now, if you get stuck in this, I get where you're coming from, 719, but you get stuck in this world of, we can't take moral victories. So it's every loss is just throw them out. Change. At some point, you have to try to evaluate where you are as an organization and can't just say, well, if we're not in the Super Bowl, then we failed. You got to start somewhere.
Oh, I mean, something worked yesterday in that middle second quarter through about the end of the third. Something was working.
Well, and even in the last, at the end of the second quarter, you saw something and you cut that thing to 27-14. You made it an interesting setup. Eastside Chris Brady, Colorado's not big enough to handle egos of Wilson, Sanders, James, and Tanner.
Is that our Mount Rushmore there?
Is that our Mount Rushmore?
Personalities?
Wilson, Sanders, James, and Tanner?
I feel like it's just Sanders right now.
Yeah, probably so. Wilson's ego's not so big that it is like Deion Sanders. Dixon, you trade all that draft capital and spend all that money to now settle for moral victories. It's been so bad the Broncos have you brainwashed into accepting moral victories. Sad.
I don't think you're settling. What? I think that's all you have at this point.
What are your suggestions? You cannot release Russell Wilson. That will not happen. I'm just telling 100%. Take it to the bank.
Even if you do it in 2 years, you're eating 100
yes,
plus
and you're
million.
Setting your franchise back again. And the only way that fixes itself is if Russell Wilson retires at the end of the season or gives the money back and reworks his contract. That's the only way that this happens. So I'm accepting moral victories. We signed up for Russell Wilson that we saw in Seattle for most of his career. You haven't got that, and that sucks. But that's what it is. George Payton signed Russell Wilson to the extension. It hasn't worked out. George Payton hired Nathaniel Hackett. It hasn't worked out. Do you really want to insert a new head coach for Russell Wilson and a new system? Because this was Russell's first year away from Pete Carroll. So do the math in your head. Does it make sense? Russell's already shown us that his departure from Pete Carroll has been tough. Do you want him to have another departure from a head coach? Russ is your starting quarterback. For better or for worse, there is no getting around it. This is not the Drew Lock debate. This isn't Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater and Joe Flacco. These aren't debates that we can have. Case Keenum even. These are literally debates that we cannot have on the radio. Because Russell Wilson is your starting quarterback. So is the best move to go get player to be named later and insert a brand new system? Or is it see how this ends, and if there's something to build on, then we get our guys back. That helps.
Would there be a scenario where maybe this offseason you pick up a quarterback in like the fourth or fifth round?
Sure.
And you just say, hey, Nathaniel, this is your guy.
Oh, no.
And whatever happens with Russ, you have a guy in waiting, and that's Nathaniel's guy.
Oh, yeah.
So in 2 years from now,
yeah,
when Russ is maybe, if he hasn't bounced back yet, you give him another year, and you make a decision, do we bench Russ, who's just starting this new contract, who's not playing good, or do we start this young guy who's been on the bench for 2 years getting ready?
Yeah, I could see that. I think you should always draft a quarterback. As long as you got a pick.
It's not going to be ripping.
Yeah, it's not going to be ripping. We're done with that.
As long as you're with Russ, you're going to be with him, but you need to have a backup plan at some point.
I could totally see that happening. And then that just says to Russ, hey, is this how you want your legacy to go down? Is if you struggle next year, this guy takes over for you. You got to have some urgency here. Yes, I could absolutely see the Broncos. Now, they don't have a lot of draft picks this year, but I could see them take one late.
You could always pick up a Brock Purdy.
Take Mr. Irrelevant.
2-0 somehow.
Sure is Purdy. How many times are we going to do that?
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
When they win the Super Bowl, that'll be it.
He looks like he has stuff, doesn't he?
I wasn't sure after last week.
He had the right stuff.
But watching this week, what they did at Tampa Bay, he looked just fine. Like, just...
He's moving around in the pocket.
It's easy when you have Debo and Christian McCaffrey,
yes,
but you still got to facilitate, and that offense is not easy to learn and to fit to, you know, run. And he's doing it.
Did you see Jerry Rice's tweet about stop running your stars up the gut, and that's why you're getting everybody hurt? Garoppolo with the quarterback sneak, and I thought that was interesting.
Well, I mean, you can't just run it outside every time.
I know. That's how you set it up.
That's what those nose tackles are for.
That's what Ed Lamb said. Stop. Yeah, we will run it up the gut. Stop telling me not to run it up the gut. We're going to run it in the middle.
We're going to do it again.
He must have heard that a lot. Listen, I'll be the first to tell you. Yesterday was good, Angel. You scored 28 points. It still feels like it's a lot of work to get 28 points. You saw how Purdy moved the ball. Like, you saw guys, you know, you just, even like Justin Herbert, your Dolphins had him under duress a lot. He was moving around in the pocket, but he had guys. He had receivers open. He had options. And it just looks easier. Now, Denver got better at that yesterday, where I started to see, okay, Jerry Jeudy's on a little quick slant here. You got a receiver kind of coming underneath, or maybe a quick little out route, or running backs on a screen, or a little comeback. And then what happened, though? They did the screen play that worked. Marlon Mack gets the touchdown. And they ran it like three times in a row. Not in a row, but like three times out of 10, their next 10 plays. Like, it ain't going to work again. Falling for that again.
When you run hurry up on Madden and it just gives you the same play again,
yeah,
you're just doing that.
You're just doing that. That's why I've always said Hackett's running it on Madden. Listen, none of our discussion today is about, oh, Hackett's arrived. You've got it. This is purely a stance that I'm taking of, when do you stop churning out coaches and just give one time to stick? And Hackett hasn't made the same issues over and over again. Still hasn't been good. But the options are Dan Quinn. And is Dan Quinn's, like, how do we know he's not damaged from the Super Bowl a few years ago as a head coach? I don't know that. We live in this world of bring back Bill Cowher. I mean, you still hear Bill Cowher's name mentioned. At some point, you got to quit saying. I hear Mike Shanahan's name still, too. He was fired from the Broncos. You know, just because they have a big name doesn't always mean it's going to work out. And so I'm just... Is Dan Quinn a better head coach than Nathaniel Hackett? Yes. Based on his resume, he is. Is Sean Payton? Yes. But...
takes time to build a resume.
Yeah, and there's no guarantee that Sean Payton comes in here after a year off, and Dan Quinn, after being a DC for, you know, again, being back in that world, are just going to come in here and connect with Russ, and away we go. Agree or disagree, this move is about being a head coach and being good at it, but you also have to connect with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, this is right now for this franchise, this is the window. You know, yeah. It didn't go the way you wanted to year one, but you knew this was going to be a long-term thing with Russell. So this is our window the next 4 or 5 years. You can't have a lot of turnover in that because your window closes quicker and quicker every time you do that.
Yeah, and that, listen, I deep down, I don't have any deep intel on this, but I don't think the Broncos necessarily, in their heart of hearts, was George Payton thinking they were going to be a playoff team this year? I don't believe that. I think with this roster, there was nothing offensively that attractive about this roster. Defensively, certainly overachieved this year. So I don't think you were going into the season saying it's playoff or bust. So
they were more than a quarterback away.
Yeah.
They were a C-minus team.
Yeah. I think 8 or 9
pushes you up to a B.
Yeah.
But then that B starts to falter.
I think 8 or 9 was the realistic, like, deep down for them. And again, I thought they'd be better. I thought Russ would make that big of a difference. It didn't. But deep down, I bet you they would have been satisfied with 8 or 9 wins. But here they are. It just has gone so badly that it's like, God, we really do want to try to be patient with Nathaniel Hackett. But it hasn't worked. Smitty, did Sean Payton leave the Saints because he knew he couldn't win after Breeze left and he didn't want to tarnish his reputation? I mean, that's a worthwhile question. You know, because what are we doing with Bill Belichick? Oh, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick? Tom Brady's got him so far. And I know Bucks got smoked yesterday, but he's won a Super Bowl. He's been in the playoffs every year since he's been with the Bucks. He's probably going to go again because that division's awful. And Tom Brady's winning that argument. Easily. I don't know about the competitiveness of these guys. Do they think it would tarnish their reputation? I don't know about any of that.
Well, here's this about Sean Payton. He's a great coach. I'm not denying that. Last 7 times they went to the playoffs, they lost.
Yeah, I mean.
So is that, are you just fine with getting to the playoffs?
I mean, I think Broncos fans would be happy to just get a shot. But.
Would they be?
No, it would change.
Do you think Broncos fans are a little entitled about
Broncos
in the playoffs, we'll be in the Super Bowl?
Broncos country, sure. You can be a little fickle.
That's how it was in the offseason. Was, oh, we got Russ, we're going to the Super Bowl. They were like top 4 in Super Bowl odds.
You see, and everybody thought that, right? Everybody thought that. We've all been duped. But duped or not, this is the situation. You remember the scene in The Office? Remember the episode when Michael leaves and starts the Michael Scott Paper Company and Pam's freaking out and she quit too and she ran with him and they're like, crap, we don't even have an office. What are we going to do? We don't have any clients. And he looks her in the eye and he's like, this is the fact. This is the situation. I quit my job. You quit your job. That's where we are. We have no choice now. That is Michael Scott is Nathaniel Hackett and Pam is Russell Wilson. And that's them looking at each other, or however you want to look at it. That's
Ryan in this situation.
Okay, maybe George Payton is Michael Scott. Ryan is Nathaniel Hackett. Pam is Russell Wilson. And Ryan just comes along. He's like, hey, I stole some bowling shoes. Nathaniel, I was like, I got some bowling shoes here. I stole those. If you don't know The Office,
got
then,
some cheese
sorry.
Balls.
Yeah. But that's it. That's George Payton looking at Hackett and Wilson saying, if they keep us, like, the Walton Petter Group is out there, man. They're out there. I don't know what they're going to do, but this is the situation. I hired you, and I hired you. And I can't get out of the situation with you, Russ. Hackett, I really don't want to, because that's bad for me. So we only have one choice here, and that's to end this season on the most positive of notes that we possibly can so that they can give up, so that they can have a little bit of confidence that we can turn this thing around next year. Smitty said he heard that Nick Saban said he left the Dolphins because Breeze went to the Saints and the Dolphins were without a viable quarterback. Trust me, that stuff happens too. You look at the writing on the wall and go, is it worth fighting?
Kind of exactly what happened.
Yeah. I mean, is it worth fighting knowing I don't have my guy here? I'm not going to get my guy here. And I don't, you know, that's going to, I might as well just go back to college. Because I can destroy it there. And Peyton, you know, hey, might as well get out of the Saints situation. And then if I want to come back in a year or two, I can. 25 minutes after the hour. Your thoughts on this? We'll keep talking about it. The NFL playoff picture, we'll look at that too. What changed over the course of the weekend? We got an interesting one tonight between the Patriots and the Cardinals. Both teams fighting for an op. I mean, Arizona's 4-8, probably out. I would say this is a must win. Well, absolutely is a must win, but they're still, I mean, are they still kind of in the picture? The Patriots certainly are.
I think the path for the Cardinals is a lot easier in the NFC than the Patriots.
Yeah, well, the Giants are 7-5-1, and they're holding down 7. And the Giants seem like they're going the opposite way. But then you have the Seahawks and the Lions. Got to win this one for there to even be a debate. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk about that on the other side. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I know there's not a lot of positives around Mondays. It's back to work. Typically, we're all talking about a Broncos loss. But at Cable's Pub and Grill, Mondays mean all-you-can-eat spaghetti for just $5.95. Yeah, Susan and Cheryl like that. Great food, great company, atmosphere, you name it. I was there on Friday. Absolutely my place. Where my friends meet at Cable's Pub and Grill. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Should Nathaniel Hackett get one more year as a head coach for the Broncos? And it's 40% no, it's 33% yes. It's changed a little bit throughout the course of the program. I think maybe some people are like, yeah, let's run it back. Let's give it a shot. You know, you were talking about all those big names like Sean Payton, what he's done in the playoffs, and you just don't know. Situations sometimes. A head coach comes in, he doesn't have the right quarterback, he can't figure it out. Or a quarterback comes in and he doesn't have the right coach. It is a combo of things.
Or even the GM and the coach don't see eye to eye.
Yes.
Maybe the coach wants more, like, I want to be able to draft whoever I want and sign whoever I want, and GM doesn't do that because they're taking orders from the guys upstairs.
Yeah, there's so many things that go into it. You know, I mean, Mike Shanahan was known as, you know, everyone says he's like a shoe, he's an obvious Hall of Famer and all this stuff, and that he was this offensive mastermind, and he was. I mean, he did do that in the 90s. But how many Super Bowls did he win without John Elway? That would be zero. I mean, how many play? He wasn't even in the playoffs that much without John Elway. He went once with Brian Griese. He went three times with Jake Plummer. I think that's it. Dude, I think Mike Shanahan went to the playoffs four times without John Elway. And they got run out of the building twice against the Colts. They lost, I think it was to the Chiefs with Griese or maybe it was the Raiders, other way around. I'm not sure. But I know they didn't do anything. And then they had the one good year where Jake Plummer and Shanny led them to the AFC West Championship. And they lost to the Steelers, and the Steelers went on to win the Super Bowl. Well, and then what happened? You drafted Jay Cutler. Basically screwed up Jake Plummer's psyche the rest of the way. So we can sit here and talk about all these great coaches and all these great guys, and it's like, well, did they have a great quarterback with them? That's not. I'm not trying to take anything away from Shanny. I'm not. But I just, before we keep throwing out these sexy names that we throw out every year, you got to be careful with that. You want to keep doing this? Hackett's gone. Okay, now you're going to go with a veteran. Well, that didn't work. Maybe it does. I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe Dan Quinn connects. Maybe Sean Payton, if you can find the capital, which I don't think you can, maybe that connects. My point is, sooner or later, you got to just say, to hell with it, and stay the course. Because you've already said the opposite. You've already said, to hell with it, fire him. Bring in another one, fire him. Bring in another one, fire him. You've already tried it. Gary Kubiak didn't get fired, he left. But Vance, Vic, now Hackett, and Fox before that. It takes time to find that right combination. Now, Peyton Manning, luckily, they weren't good with Fox anymore, really, but Manning was so good it didn't matter who your head coach was. I thought Gary Kubiak did a good job as a head coach, but you still had Manning that final year. His brain was still very good in the football sense as far as calling audibles and such. If you can see something like this against the Chiefs, and I'm not saying 28 points, you can get in the 20s. Maybe win one of them. Then maybe you do this. Maybe you run it all back one more time. Big game tonight. Monday Night Football. Going to be here on KFKA. Now, for the Patriots, they're sitting on the outside looking in. They're behind the Jets. Jets lose, so that gives them a shot. Chargers get the win. But now the Patriots are sitting at 6-6. Looking to get into the playoffs. So it is a playoff type game for them tonight. And then for the Cardinals on the other side, they're sitting at 4-8. Odds are they won't make it in. But, you know, are the Commanders going to keep this up? Are they going to get in? Are the Seahawks going to squeeze in over the Giants? Or the Lions even? Wow.
Are those four, I like Washington and Detroit.
How about that?
And I think for the Patriots, they've already lost twice to the Jets.
So I mean,
you're
so
more than a couple games behind them.
It's kind of must win from here on out for the Patriots, isn't it? Boy, if you're lying, Dan Campbell.
Don't you just want them to get in?
Yeah, you do. Well, this goes back to his like opening presser with the Lions, and we all kind of we loved it, right? You loved the press conference, but you still walked away going, all right, I'm going to smoke because this guy just blowing up our, you know what. But then you liked it still. You know, the Lions are chomping on the legs and then the
biting kneecaps
and doing all this. And then he gets emotional and then he brings the offensive lineman up that never really got a shot to do the press conference instead of him. Yeah, dude.
You
want a guy like that.
In their last six games, and their only loss was by 3 points to Buffalo.
Wow. How about the Lions?
They are at the Jets, at the Panthers, home against the Bears, and at the Packers.
Is that our team right now? Are we all rooting for the Lions?
America's
the NFC
team.
You like a guy like that, man. Played.
How about Jared Goff? Just like everyone wrote him off. And he is just continuing to just.
You like a story like that. You just like it.
Jameson Williams came back finally. He got a touchdown. That was fun.
So let's root for the Patriots then to knock out Arizona. They'll be done. That'll pretty much officially knock them out. And then that, you know, you're going to need some help, but maybe they get in. 38 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
After 1 o'clock, expecting what, snow tonight? Late tonight into tomorrow morning. Gonna get a little chilly as it continues to do. It is December. Lemons Heating and Cooling. You know, make sure you're calling these guys now if your heater's going, but it's not as strong as you'd like. And maybe it's, why is it spitting out like lukewarm air? I've got it cranked up. Talk to our friends at Lemons Heating and Cooling. 970-567-0798. They're an HVAC contractor in Greeley. Free estimates available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Interesting games coming up, man. Thursday Night Football is going to be interesting, too. You get San Francisco and Seattle going at it.
Yeah, Brock Purdy versus Geno Smith. What a matchup.
The matchup we didn't think we would want, but we kind of get, but sort of want.
It's not the matchup that we deserve.
Yeah.
It's the matchup that we get right now.
It's the matchup that we get right now. Is San Francisco, though, just... I mean, I know Brock Purdy was good, but San Francisco's just better at everything else. Defensively, you know, their skill players position. They added Christian McCaffrey. They're just really good, and that's kind of been their MO for the last few years, is quarterback's all right, but the rest of our team is awesome.
Yeah, they attack you with the running game with Christian McCaffrey, and then they'll use Debo in all kinds of roles, and I know he got hurt, but seems like he should be okay, nothing serious for him. And then you throw in Mr. Irrelevant, who's just, you know, couldn't have seen this coming, comes in last week against the Dolphins, lights it up a little bit. And then go against Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. How about that for a storyline? Mr. Irrelevant versus the Mr. Irrelevant. Wow.
Did you see the guy that picked off Tom Brady and
he got it signed?
Wanted it signed. What did you think of that move?
That's fun.
Yeah, I'm
glad that Tom was a good sport about it.
Yeah, it's not that he's trying to disrespect you. He's
like, if he was doing his analyst job and he was on the sideline, I could see him saying, "No, leave me alone."
Yeah,
but like, come on, Tom, I just picked you off. Can you please sign the ball,
this
please?
This is history for me. Like, he's to me, that's paying a lot of respect to you because I just picked you off, and that's such a crazy, rare thing or whatever.
Like I watched you growing up.
Yeah, and I want to commemorate that.
Yeah.
If you were just a regular person and I picked you off, if you're Brett Rippin and I picked you off, I'm not asking for you to sign it, man.
What about Russell?
Probably not asking Russell to sign it. I mean, I would ask him to sign it.
It was that throw he had yesterday on that pick six. That was, I mean, good play by the Chiefs defender there to bat it up to himself. But
this is what I'm talking about.
It was at that point where that game should have been over.
Knowing your personnel, is that the right play call? No. I mean, it's fourth down. You're going for it. You play action. You roll out with Russ. Here's the thing. If you roll out and there's nothing there, great. You're a genius. But odds are, if I'm a defense, I'm playing outside of Russ, and he rolls out, and I've got a defender there. So Russ is going to have to hurry the throw. And even if he completes it, it's not a first down. I think he had Dulcich over there. I don't know. He had tight end. And they had defenders all over that thing.
Not a fan of the play where you fake it to the left on the running back, and then you spin around. You left your defensive end completely unblocked because you're trying to sell it to the left.
Yeah.
Oh, turn around. Oh, there's a defender right there. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. I hate that play call. You saw that happen a lot last night with the Dolphins and Chargers game. The Dolphins had the outside edge a lot of the time, the outside contain. So when Herbert would make that fake, there was somebody there. So Herbert had to run, stall, and then he ended up just throwing in the dirt. Some of the plays. Then he'd find guys down the field, but that's good play calling because you had other options. On that play call, that is the only option that you have. That is it. You roll right because you play action and you've got that, your offensive line's committing to the left. You roll right. Your only option is the tight end that's going to be 4 yards in front of your face.
Or you sell the fake hard enough for that guy to bite a little bit.
And then you have a run, maybe.
Right.
But if it doesn't work, then you lose yards and you give them the ball back at midfield or you throw a pick six. I mean, but, you know, the very best case scenario in that play would have been that he completed the pass and then you get tackled and you give it to him at midfield.
Oh, and then two touchdown drives right after that. That's a good way to respond.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, that was just weird play calling, which I'm not like sitting here signing a contract today saying, this is my endorsement for Nathaniel Hackett. I'm just saying, do you try to stay the course if this thing shows some life? Don't call those plays, though. 48 minutes after the hour. What's on the tube tonight? And closing thoughts coming up next.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and their Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We got Monday Night Football on KFKA tonight. Patriots are taking on the Cardinals. it kind of feels like both really, I mean, Arizona, if you don't win, you're out. You're done, I would imagine. Patriots, though, close call. It's a tight one. Got to find a way to get this one tonight.
Cliff Kingsbury kind of fighting for his job in this one.
Yes. Kyler Murray trying to prove that he's worth the big money and all that stuff. ESPN thing has the Patriots favored, but the spread going 2.5. But it says the matchup indicator has the Cardinals winning.
Cardinals field goal to win.
Yeah. I like the Patriots to cover tonight, but I'm not Mr. Monday Night on Joe. But we'll see. We'll see how this one unfolds. So big one tonight. We'll have it here on KFKA. Looking forward to the coverage there as always. And you can listen to VSiN Final Countdown coming up next to give you maybe the rundown of what to expect in this game tonight. Also in the NBA, Memphis playing Atlanta, Dallas and OKC. Nothing great tonight. It's Monday Night Football. Nuggets until like Wednesday. They're getting a lot of time off. Monday Night Football. Be excited about that. Be good. So on Tuesday's show, we'll get into it, man. We'll talk a lot more about this Broncos situation going forward, the state of basketball right now, too. And Deion Sanders, again, just turning the football world upside down, and you're seeing it every single day. So it's absolutely mind-boggling how college football is going to continue operating. You know, what this is all going to look like going forward, NIL stuff. I've had some interesting discussions about that just myself the last couple of days. So, would not want to be one of the guys in charge of navigating through all of that. 55 minutes after the hour, VSiN Final Countdown coming up next. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.